Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. I'm continuing some thoughts this morning on what I started last week on believing God. And I tell you, when you start to talk about faith and belief and confidence in the Lord and trust in the Lord, you realize just how much confusion there is, especially in our modern world. Nobody believes anything. And they're pretty burned out. And I want to try and restore that confidence and that faith in a load of people through the preaching of the Word of God. Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. I was in the wrong place there. Let me get there. Romans 1, 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Here it is. As it is written, the just shall be saved by faith. Is that true? Yes or no? Yes, we're saved by faith. But now the Bible here is not just saying being saved, but what's the word? Shall live by faith. What a wonderful thought. I want to talk about the difference between superficial faith and sound faith. And I want to ask you, which way do you live? Which faith do you live by? We read there in Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. As we finished last week, I thought, okay, that was it. I tried to encourage and that we can believe God, but sometimes our believer mechanism is broken. Amen? Okay? It's kind of like you got this great-looking car, and the engine runs great, but the transmission's broken. And we got a great God, don't we? Amen? We got a great Bible. But somehow, our believer part of us is sort of messed up. Amen? So maybe... maybe if the Lord would meet with us today, maybe your faith will be strengthened. Now, the life of the Christian is this part of his life that we're talking about are his decisions that he makes, his attitude he lives by, his hopes, his goals, his joy, and his reactions to life. When we say the Christian is to live by faith, we're talking about all of those things need to be experienced by faith. Not by force. Some people, they want to have pleasure, so they spend big money to go to some oxygen, which is really is pure starvation, but they go to something and they put out so much effort in order to have fun. They haven't got a clue what faith is. Some people, they try to force, put so much effort out to try to have joy and to make their dream and their goals come alive. And but a Christian does it by faith, which is totally different. So, this thing of being faith in the Christian life, and we're not just talking about any kind of faith here. We're looking at a faith that is a solid kind of faith, a sound faith, a substantial faith, not a superficial. Take your Bible, turn to Titus now. Titus chapter 1. And when you found that, also find Psalm 119. Titus is back towards the back, but before you get to Hebrews and Revelation and all that, find a little book called Titus chapter 1, and then in the left hand, get Psalm 119. Psalm 119, an entire psalm devoted to the Word of God. Psalm 119 and verse 80. Titus chapter 1 and verse 13. I have some scriptures for you to look at today. And I wish I could just take it to one scripture and then talk for 30 minutes and make it all nice and flowery. But I know from reading my Bible that faith only comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You're going to have to get some scripture to help your faith to grow. So, I hope we have the right balance this morning. Titus chapter 1 verse 13. If you'll go back, I want you to see verse 10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers. Mainly they're on TV, talk shows. And deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Speaking of Jewish teachers. Whose mouths must be stopped. Who subvert, who take over whole houses, ruin entire families. Teaching things which they ought not for money's sake, for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves... Even a prophet of their own said the Cretans are always liars. That's not an exaggeration. It was a truth statement. The Cretans, the people of Crete, the island of Crete, are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply. Talking about the Christians who come out of that mess, who've only known how to tell lies, who've only been living for their belly and a glutton, and they're fat, and they're lazy, and they're obnoxious to be around. It says this, rebuke them sharply that they may be, what's the next words? Sound in the faith. Shouldn't we come to church and just have a good pat on the head and a hug? And no, sometimes you need a kick in the rear, amen? Because that's what we need to make us sound in the faith. Now, I do love a hug. I do love it when somebody says, boy, you're a blessing. I like to be encouraged, but I don't want to be lied to. Sometimes I'm not a blessing, amen? And somebody sometimes needs to go up and say, hey, that was out of line. Hey, that hurt. Hey, that was the sin, amen? I need to know, because sometimes I don't know. Now, Psalm 119, please. Psalm 119 and verse 80. And if my voice gives out, Weston will take over. Just follow my notes, brother. Amen. Psalm 119, verse 80. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes. Let that I be not ashamed. Sound in thy statutes is talking about that his heart would be solid with the Word of God. Not just superficially covered like a veneer with the truths of Scripture, but that my heart is now governed by the Word of God. See, we can all put on an outer shell, can't we? We can put on, oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, I'm a Bible believer. But when you get below the surface, you are not. Okay? So, even David the psalmist says, oh God, let my heart be sound in thy statutes, in thy commandments. Now, I need you to go I need you to go to John chapter 2, and while you're going to the Gospel of John, where we are going to find our message, before a person becomes born again, living by faith is impossible. Okay? Everybody has faith in something. You have faith the car starts when you turn the ignition. You have faith the chair's going to hold you up. You have faith in an elevator that when you press up, it goes up and not down, amen? Especially rapidly. We have faith in lots of different things, but living by faith? To most people, it's a mystery. It's a concept that cannot be grasped or understood. But with the preaching, the faithful preaching of the Word of God, people come to understand that faith is not a blind stab in the dark, but a carefully calculated act of trust and belief that God knows what He's doing and will lead you the right way. Once you begin to obey this Bible and follow its author, which is Jesus, once you begin to just, all right, I'm just going to take out of His Word. You know what you're doing then from that moment on? You're living by faith. All right. Go to John chapter 2. By way of background, let's just look at three verses real quickly here. John chapter 2 and verse 23, yes. Now when He was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, watch these words, many believed in His name when they saw the miracles which He did. But look at verse 24. But Jesus did not commit Himself unto them because He knew all men. Oh, that's a powerful scripture. And He needed not that any should testify of man, for He knew what was in man. In John chapter 2 here, while Jesus was in Jerusalem for the Passover, He performed miracles that were not recorded in the Gospels. They're just not listed. He had turned the water into grape juice up there in the little village of Cana, and He had done a great thing there with feeding a huge crowd of people for that long week in what the world misguides that it's a drunken orgy. It was no drunken orgy. There was no alcoholic wine. It was fresh fruit of the vine. Amen? Not fruit of the vat. Jesus was in Jerusalem to Passover. And these people, because they saw whatever miracles they were, whatever He did, it caused them to believe in His name. But I want you to saw this. Jesus, even though people believed in Jesus, He didn't believe in them. This is amazing, all right? He didn't commit Himself to them. Is He committed to the believer, yes or no? I will never leave you or forsake you, amen? That's a pretty big commitment. It's just like a marriage. It's not just, I love you, hey, I love you too, bye-bye. No, no, no. When the Lord Jesus sees faith in somebody and somebody committing themselves to Him, guess what Jesus does? He commits Himself to them, doesn't He? So this is a revelation that just because some people believe in Jesus means they're not saved. Because their faith was not sound. I'm going to talk to you about that in a moment. The people liked Jesus. Let me deal with this. The people liked Jesus. They followed Jesus because of the great things He was doing. But they had superficial faith. Now, superficial faith means being on the surface only. Just shallow. I think of, I go to the park here, the regional park there. And I don't know, I think it's in May or something. And the water bugs, what are they called? I call them water bugs. They're these bugs that have these legs and they ride along the top of the water. What are those things called? Some of you guys. Huh? No, these things are huge. They're not as big as my hand. But they're floating along and... Yeah. Oh, no. They're just... These bugs are just... They look like big, ugly bugs with long legs and they're riding right on top of the water. Their legs are built so that they just sit there and they just scoot along on the water. It's amazing. And that's what a lot of Christians are. They got the Bible and they've got their church and they've got their little bit of Christianity that they call Christianity and they just scoot along on the surface. But they never get in. Amen? They never go under. They never get into the things of God. They never have a depth to the relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's a superficial relationship. And it damns people because they may come to church. They may own a Bible. They may even know memory verses. They may even know what the Bible teaches about certain doctrines. But they never get... They're just sitting there writing on the top of all of that and they never get in. Sound faith, however, means a solid, through and through type of faith, a real kind of faith. We talk about, can you imagine if this was made out of cardboard? Or a very thin level of plasterboard? It'd be easy to break, wouldn't it, Brother Paul? But if you've got now cinder blocks, you know these, they have these cavity blocks. They're pretty solid, but nothing like solid rock, amen? I have seen some old houses being torn down or these builders being asked to put an addition on these old houses and it's 18 inches of solid rock around those houses. It's phenomenal. And they begin to bring out those Kango cameras and... And I mean, it takes days for them to make a hole in that wall because it's solid, amen? And I want my faith to be solid. I don't want a superficial kind of faith. Now, I don't want you to get the idea you have to believe so much and you have to have a... No, you have childlike faith to get born again. But you cannot have superficial faith to be able to live by. If you're going to live by faith, you're going to have a faith that is more than just skin deep, amen? They say this. They say beauty is only skin deep, but ugliness goes down to the bone. Come on, lighten up, guys. When it comes to Christianity, I don't want a skin deep type of Christianity. Okay? Because I know a lot of people can fake a smile, amen? And I want it to be real. We're talking about in everything give thanks. In everything means being able to go all the way through it. All right. God knows the heart. 1 Samuel chapter 17 says this. Let me find it. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder, being like a surgical knife, being able to lay things apart, dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner, it's an understander, it's a critic of the thoughts and the intents of my heart. It knows me. This book tells me all about myself, amen? God knows the heart. Did you know these people liked Christ? I want you to go to John chapter 8. We're going to spend a little bit of time here in the Gospel of John. John chapter 8, verse 30. Again, it's a similar situation in John chapter 8. The Bible says, John 8, verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. You think, wow, a lot of people got saved. No, watch it. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye what? Continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. These people liked Jesus' commitment in the face of death. He is sitting there in John chapter 8, He's speaking of going to Jerusalem and being tortured and then murdered on a cross. And the people say, I like this guy. I believe in this guy. This guy's committed to the death. But you see, their faith was not enough for them to be committed, let me find my statement here, to Him in the face of their own death. He says, are you willing to stay with Me? Are you willing to commit and just stick to My word? Or are you always going to have miracles? If you ever read your Bible, especially in the Gospels there, you'll find that the first part of Jesus' life and His ministry was miracle after miracle after miracle. But after a little while, He shuts it off. He stops doing miracles, and He just teaches. And the people got bored. The people said, hey, do a miracle. Hey, would you do this? And if He did, He would take them aside quietly, and He would heal the person. He'd say, now don't tell anybody. Because He didn't want to be a big carnival. He wanted people to move from understanding that Jesus can do anything to where the truth makes you free. Amen? Do you understand? So faith is not knowing, oh, I've seen them do this and I've seen them do that. Good. This is where we make the mistake. A lot of people don't believe that God can do anything. They've been taught so much rubbish and their faith is at zero when it comes to God. And I'm here to tell you, don't wait for God to do a miracle before you have faith. Because the miracle won't give you faith. The Word will. Amen. All right, all of this is background. God knows the heart. God knows what we're made of. And you and I pretty well have a good idea of what is going on inside of our hearts too. And how hard we have a time of believing God and having faith in Him. And I want to increase that. Father, please bless Your message to our hearts today from Your Word. And Lord, I know You can do a miracle. Not a physical healing or the spectacular external things, but You can do a miracle in hearts this morning. And I beg You, please, do a miracle in mine, and a miracle in every hearer here, that our faith would be sound. It wouldn't be like waves back and forth and up and down, but it would be strong and thorough and steadfast. And that our commitment would be secure. And we wouldn't be strugglers, but we'd be more than conquerors. And it'll be through Him that loved us, through Jesus. We pray in His name. Amen. Amen. Okay, just three things I want to say this morning. The first one is that sound faith is for the heart, not just for the head. Go back to John chapter 2 and verse 23. John 2 and 23. Now when He was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in His name when they saw the miracles which He did. Again, the miracles got their attention. They started believing. And it seems that they believe only with the mind, but they are not believing with their heart. Because Jesus doesn't commit Himself to them. Now to commit is this agreement, like I'm talking to you about marriage. The Lord said, when they said, oh, we believe in You, Jesus. We believe in You. He said, see you later. That is serious. Okay? I mean, just like you fall in love with this girl. You're almost, I love you, I love you. And she says, okay. And she goes on her way. She doesn't love you back. It would kill you. But that's the commitment we're talking about here. The Bible tells us in James 2:19, Lily quoted it there earlier, that the devils, let's see, let me get down here. The devils believe and they tremble, but they're not saved. They don't have a saving kind of faith that means believing from the heart. Look at this. Here's a key verse. Verse 23 says, when He was at Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, the word is many believed on His name. The fact that many believe a certain way means nothing. You know, Jesus had crowds of tens of thousands following Him. One day He had to get rid of them all, didn't He? Do you remember that in John chapter 6? It says many left Him and He didn't go running after them. And He said to His own disciples, you going to go away too? Oh, I like Peter's answers. We're going to go there in just a minute. Many make an emotional response to the Word of God. Some make an intellectual response to the truths of the Bible. They know, when you watch Kent Hovind and you watch the facts behind creation, you go, wow, the Bible's true. But they never repent of their sin. They never develop a fear of God. Jesus described these. Go to Luke chapter 8. Go back one book. Luke chapter 8 and verse 6. Well, start in verse 4. Luke chapter 8 and verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable and he taught a story, teaching a lesson. A sower, a farmer, went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air, they had a feast. They devoured it. And some, here's your verse 6, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, what did it do? It withered away because it lacked moisture. Now go down to verse 13. They on the rock are they which when they hear, oh, they receive the word with what? With joy. And these have no, what's the word? Which for a while believe, and in time of temptation, what do? Fall away. No depth. No seriousness in their commitment to the Lord. Do you believe that Jesus is committed to this world? Do you believe He's committed to the believer? But what does He ask us to be in our faith toward Him? Committed just as well. This is a missing ingredient. And commitment comes from the heart, not from the head. Amen? My heart has to tell me, that's what I need to believe. What is salvation? Oh, yeah. Let me just skip Simon. So, saving faith is this. It's not just a mental belief. It's not just something thought in the mind. Saving faith is not just believing the fact that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And a lot of people believe that. They will go to church and they will repeat it every day if they wanted to. They would repeat, Jesus is the Savior of the world. They know it in their head, but they don't know it in their heart. It's not just believing history, that Jesus lived upon the earth. Oh, a lot of people debate that and so on and so forth. But some people, oh, I believe Jesus was a real person. But knowing that Caesar Augustus lived on this world, knowing that Attila the Hun lived on this world, knowing that Jesus Christ lived and walked on this planet will not save your soul. What is real salvation? What is real belief? If it is merely in the head and not in the heart, then a person will die in their sins and will spend an eternity in hell. Even though they believe everything perfectly with their head. Martin Luther said it this way. I found this great quote. Faith is the yes of the heart. A conviction on which a person stakes their life. That is faith. It's not a guess. It's not a hope. You must believe and trust God in your heart and with all your heart. Go to Romans chapter 10 now. Romans chapter 10 to the right after the book of Acts. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and verse 10. To the right from Luke, you want to keep going past John, then Acts, then Romans. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 and 10. Look at your Bible. Look at verse 8. 8 is a great introduction to it. What saith it, speaking of the Bible? The word is nigh thee, is near you, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe where? In thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You must have your heart active in your belief system, or else you're not going to get saved. You won't enter heaven. You know, it's sad how the world has numbed us from using our hearts. I heard this before. Well, I'll never fall in love again. Isn't that funny? You say that 15, 20 times, and you stop loving. I'll never trust anybody anymore. Well, I gave up on the Bible because I kept getting hurt. No, you didn't. Sin hurts you. Sin hurts. God doesn't. God is a comforter. Amen? Wasn't the Bible's fault. If you want to live by faith, you need to use your heart. And here's the question, here's the point, and I want to say, you need to use it flat out. We're so trying to bring my mind and my heart in tune that my heart usually is forced to go along with the mind when what I need to do is I need to believe with all my heart, like when I fall in love, where I just, boy, with all my heart, I trust and I believe in what the Bible says that I should believe. This will be clearer in the next statement. Look at this. Faith, sound faith is believing, not just seeing. We saw there in John, it says they believed because of the miracles. There was no repentance, there was no surrender, and there was no commitment to obeying Jesus. They just liked Him. When it says that Jesus did not commit Himself unto them because He knew all men, it is such a slam to superficial faith. Go to 1 John 5. Go all the way to the right and find, if you hit the Revelation, then just go back a few pages to 1 John chapter 5 in verse 11. Sound faith means putting everything on Jesus, resting completely everything on Jesus. 1 John 5:11. And this is the record, speaking of the Bible, this is the written record that God had given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. It's not in a church. It's in Jesus. He that hath the Son, what does He have? And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name on the Son of God. It's funny how the whole world seems to have to see things before they believe anything anymore. But then again, I understand. There are so many frauds out there. There are so many hustlers. So many crooks out there. So many liars that claim to be the real thing. There's so many religions and so many beliefs. But let me show you this, okay? Faith is something that you act upon because of the source of your faith. Matthew chapter 7. John here alludes to it when he says, I've written something for you. Well, let's go back to it. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. I get to preach in here in just a minute. So far, I'm having to just lay all the groundwork. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and what's the next word? It does not say, well, I just believe them. Well, if you believe them, let me make a statement here. Now I'm going to start preaching. If you just believe the Bible, but you don't obey it, then you don't have sound faith. Do you understand? That's the difference. Jesus says, the person who hears this word of mine, the sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken unto him unto a wise man. We learned about this at camp. A wise man which built his house upon a rock. Oh, the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Was that rock Peter? It was on the word of Jesus Christ, wasn't it? So now you have your interpretation for Matthew 16, when it says, upon this rock. He was not looking at Peter. Peter was a piece of flimsy noodles. You don't build a house on sand. Peter's name is a little pebble in the sand. Jesus is the rock, and His sayings are the rock. You build it upon a rock. Verse 26, and everyone that, again, here's the other guy, he hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not. Shame on you. If you hear what you ought to do, if you know what that Bible says to do, you hear somebody stand up here and say, thus saith the Lord, and as soon as you're heading out, says, not for me. I'm not. You know what you're doing? You're building your house upon sand. He says, he that hear the sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Listen. Faith is acting upon the source of your faith. I just don't have faith, okay? I just don't believe in blue people that live on a green planet somewhere. You can believe anything you want. It's free country. Go right ahead. You want to believe that the government's best thing since peanut butter? You want to believe that green beans come out of the supermarket? You want to believe everything you want instead of out of the ground? When I was teaching the teens in America, we dealt with some real rough kids out of inner city Newark, which is right across the harbor from New York City. And we would take a bus in. We brought in kids by the dozens on our bus. And you know, a lot of them believe that there are these factories that produce green beans and corn and stuff. They'd never seen a green field full of corn or green beans. They didn't have a concept of where they came from. A lot of people haven't a concept of where their faith needs to be resting. Your faith is not the key. The source of your faith, the focus of your faith, is what determines whether your faith is real or not. Here it says the sayings of Jesus Christ. There are two requirements for belief. If you're going to have sound faith, there are two requirements. The first one is surrender. Letting go of the grip on some things. Losing, you know, I think the best thing that ever happened to me was when I lost a fight. And that fight was waged on the 15th of June, 1980, 27 years ago. And I lost. It was the greatest day of my life. I lost my life. I lost my sins. I lost my sorrows. And I came out the better for it. Amen? You see, faith is not, well, I know exactly what I'm going to do. I'm just going to do this, and I'm going to believe this, and I've got this in order, and I'm just going to push this button, and out comes eternal life. It does not work that way. If a person gets to heaven, it's because they come to God, they come to the Bible, and they realize, I'm a goner. I'm lost. There's no hope. Help God. Now you win. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? The best thing you can ever do when you meet Jesus Christ is not go, hey, I like you, great guy, boy, you're awesome, man, you're smart. No, it's, woo, God is Almighty, my Lord and my God. Thomas. As Thomas did. Amen. Thomas finally got faith, amen, didn't he? Unfortunately, he had to put his fingers in the hand of Jesus and his hand in the side of Jesus before he had faith. But he finally got it, didn't he? So, there's surrender. Most of us have such a grip on our life. Go to Luke chapter 9. Got some scriptures for you. I know, but this thing's getting somewhere. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Luke 9 and 23. Two requirements for you to have sound faith. First one, surrender. You do not dictate the terms. I love reading about Jacob in the Old Testament there. Jacob's sitting there one day, he's running because his brother's going to kill him because he stole the birthright and he stole the blessing. And so Mama sends him off, and Daddy as well, sends him off to go get married over at cousin or Uncle Laban's house. So as he's going, he says, well, I better pray. So he makes this prayer, and he says, now God, if you'll bless me, and if you'll take care of me, if you'll provide my wife, and make sure she's gorgeous, and if you make me rich, and you keep me healthy, then I'll tithe. You hear that? That's a funny thing. He's dictating the terms, isn't he? You know? It's kind of like these guys coming out of college, and they sit down and for the interview, and the person there at Boston Scientific or somewhere sits down and says, what are your qualifications? Oh, I'm the man for the job. Oh, yes. All right. I see. You've got some experience. Good. And yes, let me tell you, you don't need to look at anybody else. And believe me, I'm so good that you'll give me 4 weeks of holiday. I'm the one, and I tell you what, I need a salary starting at 65,000 euros, and I wouldn't mind two laptops, one for me and one for my wife. And listen, when you sit down there, those may all be dreams, but I wouldn't verbalize them. You're sitting down there, you're looking for a job, you know what you're doing? You're begging. Amen? Please hire me, please. Amen? And if you want to have faith, you better have the right person you're begging. His name's Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Surrender. You do not come in dictating the terms. Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. That deny means to lose. It means to let go of himself. And take up his cross, whatever God's got for you, and follow me. For whosoever will attempt to save his life shall lose it. You know the biggest losers in this world? I wonder if it's going to be Bill Gates. I wonder if it's going to be these guys with all the money, all the girls. We learned that during this week about one guy named Solomon. Now Solomon was a believer. But you know what? After 7 years of him being on the king, being on the throne as king there in Israel, his faith dropped to the basement and he was a mess. He was in bondage, man. We learned, can you imagine being a slave to 1,000 women? Waking up trying to keep 1,000 women happy every day. What a fool, amen? He was not a wise man after that. But there he was. This guy, he was trying to gain, and at the end of his life he said, it was a waste! Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? He that would gain, you know what? You know how to gain? Give it away. You know how to get? Give. You know how to rise up? Go low. Amen? Best thing you ever do is stay low. We learn, American football is a fun thing to learn about. It's like, it's just watching 22 refrigerators hit each other. You know, two different teams there. But the rule of American football, you know, they're like this, you know. Hut! 24! 36! 92! They make up those numbers, by the way. It means absolutely nothing. But they're there. Hut! Hut! Hike! And the rule of American football is, the guys are coming in low, you go in lower. And that's how you stay on your feet. Because the moment you're up, they come in low, your feet are in the air, and you're down. Amen? Do you understand? And if you want to win, if you want to walk with God, if you want to have the power of God on your life, you do not come to God and go, you know, God, you and I need to have a discussion here. You know, it's been a while since you blessed me. I've been needing some things from you. You come up like that, and whack, your feet come knocked out. You come in low, and God raises you up. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and He will lift you up. Isn't that sweet? It's the opposite of everything we've learned. So, belief requires surrender. It does not require you being in control. It means this, casting all your sins and all your troubles on Jesus constantly. Amen? Now, thankfully, you need one day where you said, I give up. And you need to be born again. Amen? You need a day where you came and you stopped trying to impress God. You stopped trying to get His attention. You stopped trying to buy God and to convince God to understand your situation. You need to just come to God and say, I'm lost and I'm hopeless. I have no hope outside of You having mercy and saving my lost soul. Will You save me now? That's how you get saved. Amen? But if you want to stay close to the Lord, and when you fall and when sin comes and just begins to wrap its tentacles around you, you just throw it all back on Him and says, Lord, I want to walk with You. I want to live by faith. The faith that I use to get my soul born again is the same faith I need to do today and to live by and to stay sweet with You. Surrender. I thought of this. Noah in the ark. Wouldn't it have been so much simpler if Noah just built a big ark? I'm sorry, a big bucket. And just had God rain in that bucket. Amen? And just convince the people, hey, come in the bucket. Come on in. But if Noah built a bucket, and they got some people in there and some animals in there, and then just asked God to rain in there, it would have required no faith for him. Do you understand? Now God said this. He said, Noah, I'm about to wipe out this planet. Fear God. The only way you're going to get saved is if you build an ark and you get in it. And then when you get in there and I close that door, hold on. The ark is going to get you through. Amen? And that's faith. Noah didn't have a motor. He didn't have a rudder. He didn't have a sail. He just got in that big boat. It was a big, long box. And anybody would laugh at it and say, man, where's that thing going? It's not going on anywhere except above the water, amen? And the rest of you are going down. Do you understand? He had to act by surrendered faith where he just got in and he says, God said it, that settles it, let's just stay here. And when the Lord closes the door, trust He'll open it up and it'll be sunny. Amen? That's faith. You've got to just stop trying to figure out God and figure out everything that you need to happen in your life before you're happy. And then the second part, submission. Do you know God is the Lord of this universe? You believe that? Whether people like it or not, He is Lord of heaven and earth. Did you know the winds and the waves obey Him? And His most amazing thing, Jesus sleeping and wakes up there in that ship, the ship's sinking, and He says, "Be still!" They obeyed Him. Do you know donkeys obeyed Him? There is a cult of a donkey. Now, a donkey is one of the most stubborn beings on this planet, next to the male of the species of the human race. And that donkey there had a colt, and that colt had never been ridden upon. If you know anything about breaking horses and donkeys, it's a tough business. And when Jesus got on that horse, that donkey, He says, "It's good to see you. You remember me? I made you. I'm Jesus." And that donkey went, "Where are we going?" You see, He commands animals. Did you know every time He went to somebody and they're sitting there flipping around and writhing and foaming at the mouth, they're completely possessed by thousands of demons, Jesus, all He had to do is say, "Get out of him!" And 2,000 of them fled. Even the demons obey Him. But there's one being on this planet that has trouble obeying Him. And I'm looking at him. Amen. Submission, man. Faith requires us to submit. If He is not Lord, then Satan is. Go to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. It's a scary scenario when we don't know who's in control of our life. When we've got our friends in control, we've got fashion in control, when we think we've got ourselves in control. You know, it's nice to let the Lord be in control. Let me ask you a question here. Let me ask you several questions. Who decides your attitude every morning you wake up? Who decides that? You know, I would encourage you to not be the one who decides that. Amen? Who decides what you put between your lips and down your throat? Amen? Is it your appetites? Is it TV advertising? Is it your friends? If that is so, then you have no faith. You don't have sound faith. Who decides where you go and what you watch? Right now, my parents do. Well, good, amen? But one of these days, you're going to need a higher power, amen? Named Jesus Christ, who's going to determine what you do, where you go. If you don't have any qualms about going to the pub, sitting down and not caring about what you watch, then you have no faith. Not real faith. Faith is not just, "Well, I believe." No, faith is, "I obey." Do you understand? That's that word. Oh, that word is one of the most unused words today, isn't it? It's kind of like one of the, it's a taboo word. It's a Bible word. Who decides who you marry? And let me ask you this. Who decides even if you do marry? You know, there's a bunch of people saying, "Oh, pray for me, brother, I need to marry." Have you asked God whether you should marry? And that's a scary thing. I'm scared to pray that, Lord. But you know, there's great release when you just say, "Lord, I submit. If you don't want me married, then I'll just serve you." I had to come to that. Need to tell you. I had, for 3 years in Bible college, I had begged girls to go out with me, and they never would. No, not true. But I had so looked for Mrs. Wright. I so said, "Maybe her." You know that stupid thing? You know, like, boy, I won't even use names because I don't want to inflict the innocent. But I said, "So-and-so Ledbetter. Oh, that would be a great name for a wife." You know, and it's just these stupid things. And finally, between my third year and my fourth year in Bible college, I'd gone 3 years looking, Weston. 3 long years. I had never dated till I was 18 years old, my second semester in Bible college. My first date was when I was 18. Are you listening? Not 14. 18. I never kissed a woman till I kissed my wife at the altar when I got married. You say, "You bragging?" No, I'm trying to get you interested in staying pure and that it can be done. Amen. And that this generation doesn't have to throw their bodies into the rubbish bin and have it trampled all over every dog here in town. those 3 years, I kept looking, and I heard a message that says, the will of God. And the will of God may just be what you don't expect, and that is that you're not to be married. I know I'm terrifying John and Gina and all the rest of you aren't married. Let me just say this. When I finally said, Lord, if you don't want to be married, if that's your will, praise God. I just want to serve you. You know what? It wasn't a few months later, and in comes Miss Nita in my life. I had to be willing to do God's will. Do you understand? Instead of me telling God what to do, I was submitted. Lord, even if you don't want me to marry. Then the Lord said, now I can bless you. Amen? Submission is part of faith that seems to be lacking. Last point. Sound faith is commitment, not just confession. There in John chapter 2, I'll try to wrap this up very quickly. John chapter 2, in verse 24. But Jesus did not commit Himself unto them because He knew all men. And needed not that any should testify of man, tell him about what was in man, for He knew what was in man. You know what a confession is, don't you? The meaning of biblical confession is this. It's what comes out of your mouth. People can be encouraged to say anything. People can be motivated to pray anything. These days, they can be motivated to sing and to do stuff. It is so wicked what people can be programmed to do. Amen? Are you listening? But sound faith, real faith, is commitment. It is loyalty. It is devotion. It is steadfastness. Go to John chapter 6 now. It's where you're not going anywhere. You come to Jesus Christ, you've settled, and you're staying. Look at John chapter 6 and verse 66. John 6 verse 66, from that time, many of His disciples, they went back. And they walked no more with Him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Oh, I like Simon's answer. Then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. What was Peter excited about? It wasn't the works. It was the words. Isn't that wonderful? You have the power of God. That's not what He was impressed with anymore. He was impressed before with all of the miracles. Now He's impressed with what Jesus said. This is going somewhere. Stay with me for a second. Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe, hello, and are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus answered them, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil? And He was speaking of Judas. Isn't that wonderful? He says, I knew you guys would believe. Real faith is the commitment of a man's total being and total life to Jesus Christ. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, he says, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able, not me, He is able to keep all that I've committed unto Him against that day. The person who trusts Jesus Christ to take care of his soul, to take care of him, actually allows the Lord to take care of his sins. You know, over and over, Psalm 103 is one of the favorite verses that really motivated me when Brother Dudun Jackson, when Brother Jackson was here, and he said, as far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our sins from us. He said, you know, if you went north, you would go north, and you'd find the north place, wouldn't you? If you went south, you'd find the south pole, wouldn't you? But if you went east, would you ever find east? Is there an east place? If you went west, would you find where the edge of the west is? As far as the east is from the west, which is infinite, that's how far He's removed our sins from us. When you give Jesus your sins, guess what? They are G-O-N-E, gone. Hallelujah, amen. Woo, amen. The person who just trusts Jesus, actually trusts Him to take care of his situations. Not only did I give Him my sins, I give Him my troubles, amen? I give Him the situations I find myself in. Lord, I'm in a mess here. I know I did it, but I need You to get me out, amen? 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care, all your burdens upon Him. And it's more than just confession. It's not just this stuff that comes out of your mouth. Again, we're talking about what's in your heart. It is something that you believe about your soul. John 14 says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'm going to come again and I'll take you unto myself. He cares about us. Amen. He'll take care of your soul. And if you're trusting Jesus, you'll do three R's. All right? It's not reading, writing, arithmetic. It's if when you trust Jesus, you'll rest, you'll rely, and you'll relinquish. There is a rest for the people of God, isn't there? And it does not remove stress, it overwhelms stress. Aren't you glad? Amen? There is a reliance that you get when you're just trusting the simplicity of Christ, where you can lean hard on Him and lean on His promises, and they're greater than what you see and what you feel. Praise God. And you relinquish. Relinquish means you let go. You let go. You know, you get somebody and they're dangling from the tree. And they just say, "Help, help, I'm gonna fall." And somebody comes over and says, "Let go." It's just, "Who's down there?" It's your dad. "Is anybody else down there?" You just can't let go. You're going to have to get to where you say, "Lord, it's a long way down. I'm afraid of falling, and I'm afraid of failing, and I'm afraid of what's going to happen when I trust you." And the Lord says, "Just let go. I'll take care of you." It means relinquishing all your ways and all your habits. The Bible says, "Acknowledge Him in all our ways, and He will guide our paths." Something like that. Again, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy ways." There you go. There you go. There's no greater leader, no greater guide, no greater counselor than God. I just want to talk to you about faith tonight, this afternoon. Faith, I love this quote. Faith is putting all your eggs in God's basket and then counting your blessings even before they hatch. Because they will hatch, amen? Put all your eggs in God's basket. Put your eggs in your own basket. You can't count them until they do hatch. You put them in God's basket. That's faith. Put them in your hands, Lord. Lord, you're not asleep at the wheel. You're not doing your own thing and abandoning me to just do my own thing. When my focus is on you, when my faith is resting on you, when I have a solid, thick heart of faith for you, when all of me is trusting you, I can live by faith. Three steps to live by faith. First of all, hearing. We read that thing. It says, go to Romans chapter 10, quickly. Romans chapter 10, you know the verse, but I want you to see it. Romans 10, verse 17. "So then, faith cometh by seeing." Is that what it says? How many of you, don't raise your hand, but just think for a second. How many of you have to see, how many of you have to see a miracle of God before you start to read your Bible and believe that God's true? No. You know what I? You know where you get faith from? Just hearing. We're such a visually oriented world. We're looking at the Bible. We're saying, "Where are the pictures?" You know, in a boring book. No, that's the only way to have faith. Faith just by hearing. There's a blind man named Bartimaeus. I used this illustration last week, just about it. But Bartimaeus is there on the side of the road, and he can't see Jesus. The only reason why he knows Jesus is there is because he hears His voice. Because he hears the crowds all around him. He doesn't cry out and says, "Is that Jesus?" He just cries out and says, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me!" That's good. That's good. He heard and he acted on it. That's faith. He didn't know where to cry. He just cried out louder than the crowd. Amen. First thing you need to do if you're going to live by faith is hear that book. Most of us, listen to me, most of us go through droughts in our spiritual time because we're too busy for that book. And if you've got a problem with your faith, I'll guarantee you it's one thing, because you're not in the Bible. If you're expecting Sunday to fill you up for the week, full of the Bible, you're mistaken. Manna was given once a day, and that was enough for the day. And as much as I am, I'm trying to fill your faith, but tomorrow morning you're going to get up starving. And it won't be for food, it'll be for that book, and you need to be in that book. 20, 30 minutes. Doesn't have to be forever, but it ought to be for some time where you're reading one chapter at least. Hearing. That's how you walk by faith. Secondly, conviction. There needs to be a conviction. Allowing something to take over how he or she thinks or acts. Hey, if you were before taken for a judge, let's scare somebody. Let's get Jennifer decides to drive a car. Let's pray. Jennifer goes out and she gets pulled over by the guard. No, we won't use her. But let's say you were taken for a judge and the judge convicts you of a crime. Are you listening? Guess what the prison officers do? They take you by the hands and they take over your life, don't they? Amen. The moment that this wicked, depraved, selfish sinner named Craig Ledbetter got born again 27 years ago was the moment that Jesus Christ took over the controls of my life. I didn't just have faith in my head, and not even just faith in my heart. I had a conviction where I stood and I said, there is no life outside of living for you. And He took over. Real sound faith is not just flippant, superficial faith. It is something. If you want to live by faith, it's got to be this thing of, I am convicted. I am owned by Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, it tells us our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And most of Christians agree to that fact. Yet they desecrate and they abuse the temple of the Holy Spirit. They put things in that temple that should not be there. They receive sins into their ears. It's called rock music. It's called gossip. They receive wicked things into their mouth like cigarettes and drugs and drink. They receive stuff into their eyes like porn and filthy TV shows and movies and stuff. You cannot sit there and tell me that the nighttime programming is good for a Christian to watch. Amen. Amen. You cannot tell me that. Well, I got something wholesome out of it. Yeah, for about 15 minutes. And the rest of it just went downhill after that. You know that. And you've got to be careful. And then there are those who receive sin into their body through fornication and adultery. A person may believe and know that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world and yet do nothing about it. Never make a decision to allow Him to convict them, to take over them. And there's one last one. And that's commitment. When Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, He says, come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. But then He says something really sweet. He says, take my yoke. John, come up here for a second. upon you. And we like the fact that it talks about, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. John, stand here for a second. John is somebody who just gets saved. Now here's Jesus Christ, all right, for a moment here. This time I get to be the good guy, amen? And Jesus Christ says, John, come on, follow me, good, follow me, good. But you know what John's habit is? To not follow me. And he decides, ooh, pretty girl over there, go over that way. Yeah. But do you know how to keep John from going after every pretty girl? Is for him to allow Jesus Christ to put the yoke upon him. Take my yoke. Now, John, will you come with me? Don't look over there. Stay with me. There's something better ahead. Trust me, John. Trust me. There is something much better than all that stuff. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. That's commitment. Jesus Christ does not grab you and drag you. He says, will you take my yoke upon you? Faith is commitment where you say, Lord, put the yoke on me and keep me in line. Amen. That's faith. We think it's fanaticism. We think it's over the top. We think it's too much. No, that's living by faith. Stand and let's bow our heads in prayer. The life of the Christian, his decisions, his attitude, his hopes, his goals, all of his joy and his reactions are supposed to be experienced by faith. And a lot of people are struggling. Their faith is misaligned. It's stripped a bunch of gears. It's not working. Right now it's spinning. And it'd be sad for you to buy a car that sounds good but doesn't go anywhere. Amen? A lot of you are living by a faith that sounds good but not going anywhere. Now I'm not trying to get you to question your salvation. Not unless God is. Okay? I'm not trying to get you to think, well, I didn't have enough faith or I didn't pray the right prayer. No, there is no right prayer to pray. There is the cry of the sinner saying, help. I don't understand, but I know you want to save me. Just whatever you're going to do, do it. That'll work. That'll work. Amen. Just listen to me for a second. I'm not trying to get you to be in fear of losing your salvation or that you don't have salvation. You need to look in your heart and question and say, am I living by faith? You know, Jesus said, oh, you adults need to become like little children. Just believe. Just believe with all your heart. Now that you're older and now you've been saved for a little while, your faith's gotten thin. And if you would, today, ask God to make it thick, solid, strong. Back like it used to be when you were first saved. You were so confident, you could storm hell with a squirt gun. You could do anything by faith back then. It's time to be back there again. Father, bless your people. Bless their faith. We want to believe you, and we know we can believe you, but our believer part is not working right. I know it, Lord. My heart's been burdened about these thoughts for months. Today is the day for us to get that fixed. There's some key things we need to be. We cannot live by faith unless we're in this Bible, unless we're committed to obeying it, even when it doesn't make sense and even when it hurts. And then we're committed to it to where we let the Lord be in charge. Not my will, but thy will be done is part of faith. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you put an X-ray machine in front of us. You showed us there were some broken pieces. Thank you. You're the mender. You're the great physician. I pray for some repair jobs today. Oh, Lord. Repair me. Repair the person in this room. Don't let this world convince us we can live a superficial kind of faith. The only way to live by faith is solidly, committedly, steadfastly, really. That's the only way to live. It's the only joyous way. Help us be honest. Help us to confess, Lord, we've been living by force. We've been living by a fraud and by fakery. We want to be real. In Jesus' name, amen. Grab your hymnal, please. Take out.